Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army sports fans, to the As for Football Army Football Show. Army is 5-0. This is Jordan coming to you live from Houston, Texas, joined by Dan, Rob, Trigger Joe this week. So got a great crew. Going to unpack Army being 5-0 and on our quest to bowl eligibility this week against UAB. Thank you for joining. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good, man, except that I'm in the office with no Wi-Fi, so hopefully it will hang in there for the duration of the show. We shall see.
All right, Rob.
Hey, man, I'm excited. Sprint football team beat Navy, as you can see in the photo right here, 17-3. So, yeah, they got their star already for the season. And, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I think we'll talk bowl eligibility on the roundtable, but pretty excited this week. Couldn't be a bigger trap game or a better opponent for Army to beat to go into the, to go into bowl eligibility. And like, it's kind of nice to have it happen this early in the season, because like the last couple seasons have been nail biters. So it's like you're sitting around waiting for the bowl decision committee to throw Army a bone or not. And more often than not has not, you know, worked out in our favor. So I think, you know, winning yourself in early is the way to go. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Absolutely. Joe, how you doing?
Other than the Michigan game, I'm great. Kerry Carpenter hit a 3-run bomb, so the Tigers evened up their series with the Cleveland Indians, even though this is not a baseball show, but hey, we'll take it.
All right. Well, gentlemen, like I said, we're 5-0, about to be bowl eligible. Rob, let's just jump in. Rob, let's jump into it. Can you tell us about our first sponsor here?
Yes, I can. And if you're bowl eligible and you need to set up a rental property, we have the realtor for you. So if you're PCSing to Fort Liberty, we have a realtor, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us this season in as for football, and she's the right person to get you into your home, into the home of your dreams. The bottom line is, you know, she is a closer. She will get you into a house. She will help you find the right place for you to live. So if that's the case, go to askforfootball.com, click on her face on the side of the business cards with the rest of all the other advertisements. It'll take you straight to her website, and you can connect with her and be talking to her that day. Thanks.
Good deal. Hey, well, after a competitive first quarter, the Black Knights dropped the hammer on the Hurricanes. I was admittedly a little nervous through the first quarter. I was like, oh, boy. But we really just stepped on the gas. You know, we stopped Tulsa on downs to open the game, scored three plays on a 37-yard touchdown pass, no short. Gave up a touchdown right after that, punted, forced another turnover. And then at that point, it was just kind of over. Touchdown on six plays, you know, with a pass and no short, forced a punt, score quickly again. Halftime, we were up 21-7. And the second half, I mean, you know, Kanye Udoh had a 63-yard run, immediately touchdown run, immediately followed up by a 61-yard touchdown run in the previous series. I think it was the second or third snap of both series. And he, same play, just absolutely took it to the house. It was beautiful. Dan, why don't you break down the offense for us and what we saw this week?
Yeah, man. Among other things, we saw 481 yards of total offense, which is about par for the course for this season, which is insane for an Army team to be dropping almost 500 yards per game, 321 yards rushing on an insane 8 yards per carry, plus 160 yards passing. Ball never hit the ground. They went 6 of 6. Yeah. Bryson Daly completed his 5 passes with 2 touchdowns. Dwayne Coleman completed his only pass. Daly, 140 yards passing, plus those two touchdowns we talked about. 13 carries for 110 yards, ran over a dude like he's wont to do, was named the team's offensive player of the week. You already talked about Kanye Udo and his 2 crazy-ass runs. 6 carries, 137 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like
23 carries per carry.
That is nuts, man.
Yeah.
Noah Short, 3 catches, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus 3 carries for 11 yards. I'm waiting for Coach Monken to set him up to do the 100 and 100 now that kid from Navy did it. And firstie tight end Will Montesi caught what I think was the first pass to a tight end this season from Dwayne Coleman. So, you know, somewhere Terry Brannon was smiling about that. Finally, speaking of Dwayne Coleman, he played the entire fourth quarter, and that's been the way it's been almost all season. You know, our starters play 3 quarters. That's nuts. He went 1 of 1 passing for 20 yards, as we said, 7 carries for 21 yards with a touchdown. I thought he looked really good running the offense. He and running back David Clerk, they did really well.
Yeah, and Dan, but before we go and, you know, have Rob go through the defense, I just want to quickly talk about the fact that our second and third string are getting so many game reps and how valuable that's going to be in the long term. Because we saw Air Force this year. The reason Air Force is struggling is they had a very mature team last year and everybody graduated. So they have a very young team. A lot of guys who've never played college football or started a game are now playing. And I think there's often a fear, nervousness, anxiety whenever we have a really good Army quarterback of, oh, well, what about next year? What happens next year when this fullback graduates or when the linebacker graduates? Yeah. And the fact that, you know, we're getting guys reps now, I think that that's fantastic. I'm assuming that you agree, but...
Yeah, man. I thought Dwayne Coleman played really, really well in the spring game. And I was psyched when he finally got a chance to throw the ball a little bit in a game and people got to see it. I absolutely think he could start for this team and win. I don't think he's as good as Bryson Daly is right now, but I 100% think that he could play for this team and expect him to play well next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, kind of reloading after a lot of people graduated, defense has been great this year. Rob, what did we see against Tulsa this past week?
Yeah. So defense, the only thing that was kind of a quirk was that was the first half was the 2QB system that came out. It clearly wasn't the plan. Army was probably scheming against either their running quarterback or their passing quarterback, but not both. And they were literally switching them out on plays. It wasn't even series. It was plays like one guy would tag out with the other dude, which really kind of threw the defense off for a little bit. Once they got a beat on what Tulsa was doing, they shut it down pretty quickly. Notably, Tulsa's fear of Army's time of possession advantage literally had them going on fourth down. And I think, honestly, that was the biggest coaching mistake of the game. Like, punt. You know,
definitely an overcorrection on their part.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit too much because, like, when you look at it overall, they went 8 for 17 on third down and 1 for 5 on fourth down. They came away with nothing in the red zone at least twice, and they could have at least got field goals. You know, Tulsa finished with 268 yards of total offense. They had 159 yards rushing on 3.8 yards a carry. They had 109 yards passing. Landon Thomas led the team with 10 tackles. He had 4 solo. Caleb Fortner had 8 tackles with 6 solo, 1 tackle for loss. And Trey Sophia had six tackles with 4 solos. Shout out to Yearling, nose guard, Cody Harris Miller. Hey, the dude is playing great right now. He's got 4 tackles, 2 solos, 1 tackle for loss. I mean, when you're getting that much pressure, and we haven't seen a nose guard like this in Army for a couple years, you know, and so now you're starting to get that front seven. And, like, you know, typically this is an atypical Army defense. And I say that in the sense that, like, normally we have one super standout linebacker that, like, everybody knows who he is. You spot shadow that guy and you just follow him around. You know, you had Eric Smith a couple years ago, and you know, the guys that are currently in the NFL that were all, you know, linebackers like Nautical and those guys, right? All those guys were like the showcase linebacker in Army. But what you're seeing right now on the Army team is, like, all the linebackers are getting it done, and that's because the defensive line is playing so well. So those guys actually have the ability to scrape and move to where the ball is going. So, you know, team defense is that's how it's done, right? You have a nice even balance between defensive line and linebackers making tackles, and Army's getting off the field, which is great. And so I think that's the bigger thing, you know, like when you look at the number of plays, they had basically, you know, 9 first downs for Tulsa. And so when a team is getting, you know, taken off the field that quickly and the offense is doing well, complimentary football, man, it's like that's a recipe for success.
Yeah. Hurricane just get Jordan.
I'm still here. I'm still here. Sorry. My Wi-Fi is not fantastic. So I'm trying to.
I can empathize with that.
Trying to preserve my bandwidth and turn off the video. On special teams, we had James Wagenseller punted twice, landed both inside the 20, no field goals, but Trey Granette made all his extra points. Dan, I see you have quite a bit of a write-up here on your thoughts on the game. Why don't you educate us on your analysis?
Well, James talked about it in his recap this week, but maybe the most impressive thing about this game was the way that Army just took whatever the defense was giving them. And James broke it down into some detail, so I'm not going to go through the whole recap. But basically, Tulsa was crowding the box early, so Army threw like all over them. They ran that one that I personally thought of as a drink all special because they came out like it was a counter option. But instead of the pitch, Daly threw it overhand to short. And you know, you remember he was on the show. He talked about that, which was awesome. So, you know, and no one from the defense was anywhere close. And then the second half, Tulsa played a more conventional defense and Kanye Udo just ran all over them. So I actually give the Golden Hurricanes credit for bringing in a running quarterback. But even then, with Army obviously completely surprised to see that, they shut it down after one drive. So, yeah, man, good game all the way around. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Joe, were you able to catch any of the Army game?
Me?
Yeah.
I missed my name at the beginning of the sentence. I did, but I definitely checked. I got some of it, but I definitely caught the box score and the stats. And what we haven't mentioned is Bryson Daly, once again, did not miss a pass. I mean, I know he's only throwing 5 times, but he hit all 5 of them, and almost half of them were touchdowns. And then the kid runs for 110 yards with a 99.2 QBR. This Army team, man, Notre Dame better get their chin straps tight because you don't want to lose to Army. And I tell you what, if they overlook them, they could lose to them or Navy. I think they're going to split those games. And I'm really hoping it's Army that does it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, Joe, I know you watch a lot of college football. I've seen some rumblings about Bryson Daly in the Heisman conversation. Do you think that is patriotic hype, or do you think he actually has a shot?
I don't think he has a shot because Army's not going to get that kind of love because the reason why I don't think he'll get it is the reason why I love Army football. And it's the reason why they damn near beat Michigan and took them to double overtime when Michigan had Shea Patterson starting at quarterback. They wear you down by never phoning it in. They execute. Look at that. 7 touchdowns, 7 extra points. Sounds like nothing, but I guarantee you the percentage is over 50 for a team that scores 7 TDs to not convert.
And we just lost Joe.
I think we lost Joe.
All right.
I'll take up that one and I'll say I unfortunately don't think he's really got a realistic chance because of the Army's strength of schedule. You know, right now it's just a tough argument to make. You know, they have to kill all these teams that they're playing because none of these teams are particularly good. Yeah. And that will change a little later in the season. Like, I don't think Tulsa is a terrible team. I definitely don't think FAU is a terrible team, but the record is not showing it.
No, it's not. And Dan, let me ask you this, and we're a little off script here. You know, in a lot of games this season, and it happens every year, they start talking about, well, you know, Jeff Munkin, really, you know, people should start calling Jeff Munkin. If you're a Power 5 AD, you need to call Jeff Munkin. Do you think that we're at risk of losing our coach if we continue to play this type of football throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day when I was swimming, trying to think of which Power 5 teams have massively underperformed this season. And but yeah, absolutely. I think if Army runs the table, I would not count on him being here next year. That's just nuts. You know, every Power 5 team is looking for the next big coach. And at that point, I think it would be undeniable that he's the next big coach.
That's fair, and I don't disagree with you. The argument I've always heard for why Monken would want to do that is, you know, who doesn't want to be at the top of their game professionally? Who doesn't want to make it? Like, it makes sense. Now that the playoff structure has changed and that Army is in a conference and we actually have a shot at, you know, playing for a national championship, do you think that changes the calculus at all? Or do you think it's still a, you know, power four, you know, blue blood kind of thing that would be the draw?
I hesitate to speak for the man because I really don't know.
Sure.
But my sense is every West Pointer should understand that we all have professional ambitions, and he's an aggressive, you know, ambitious guy. And that, I think you can figure out where my sympathies lie from there.
I gotcha. Ray Kimball, counter. I don't think Monken wants anything to do with the transfer portal. Ray, you might have a point. You know, college football has changed. That has been something that has worked well for Army of, you know, we are one of the few true developmental programs anymore. And if you're an old school coach like Monken is, this new age of QR codes on the back of helmets and whatever else, that's a different type of football. I don't know. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, so two things. My first thing is, like, I think the transfer portal is a deterrent for coaches wanting to switch schools because you don't know what kind of team you're going to get. And you have to work twice as hard to develop that. But I also think, you know, if Monken is able to keep rolling, he's already number two all time winning his coach at Army. Why not go for number one, you know? And he's 3 to 5 seasons away from that. You know, he's got to hit 100 wins with Army. And I'd like to see him do that, you know, just for posterity, because I think that would be good for the program to have a coach that, like, wins like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every winning season, the carrot gets dangled. You know, I think when I first came on Ask for Football, like, we were scouting aircraft and trying to figure out where, you know, who's trying to come woo Coach Monken and to get him to leave from Army. And a lot of things have changed since then. But I think the one thing that hasn't changed is, like, his desire to coach and develop players into young men that can be successful in the Army. And I think that is the biggest intangible part of who he is as a coach.
All right. I'm just going to counter that. And I'm going to say, first off, that this is his 11th season, which, that's a lot of seasons. And at this point, you just have to be grateful that the man has spent a decade building our program. And 100%. That's part. Yeah. And, you know, it's at this point, every year is a gift, you know, and look at Troy Calhoun out in Air Force. You know, he's been potentially the next guy for so long that he actively missed his window, and now he's on the hot seat. So, you know, listen, I even Ken Niumatalolo, which is a magnificent coach at Navy, you know, eventually the magic ran out. So I don't know, man. I don't want Monken to go anywhere. He's an outstanding coach, and he's putting outstanding officers into the Army too, which is amazing. But you have to be realistic.
Yeah, that's true. Dan, you're the fatalist, as always.
How is it fatalist? The guy's been here 11 years.
That's fair. And I think you're right. And I think, you know, him having coached with Ken at Navy, you know, at some point, you know, like you said, the window runs out, if you will. But
yeah. I mean, you know, Niumatalolo, when he passed on that, the gig at BYU. That looking at it long term, that was not a good career move for him. And he landed on his feet. You know, San Jose State looks like they're in contention for the Mountain West and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not over for him by any means. He's even, you know, got a chance to maybe rebuild his reputation in a completely different way since they're throwing so damn much out there now. But but yo, I mean, the tale of Troy Calhoun is a cautionary tale.
It is. Yeah, I don't want to necessarily. I don't want to spend too much time on this and you know, create a bunch of rumors or hype or whatever, because ultimately, you know, we love Jeff Monken on this show. We would love him to coach at Army forever. But I think it's just the unfortunate reality of when you're winning football games and you're a non-Power Four school, or even if you're a, you know, lower tier Power Four school, people are going to be looking at your coach saying, hey, I'm at Florida and we're stuck in the mud. I'm at Florida State, whatever it is. Like, could Jeff Monken solve some problems for me? On the flip side, it's, you know, if you're winning two, three games a year, like Air Force, you want a new coach. So it's, you got to find that. There's that sweet spot somewhere where you're still winning games, beating Navy, going to bowl games, but you know, anything more than that, and it's kind of unnecessary attention, if you will. But, you know, Jeff Munkin being Jeff Munkin, I don't think he gives a shit. I think he's going to win as many football games as he can.
Yeah.
Can I touch on that real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry about the technical difficulties, gentlemen. The screen just went black on me. But I totally agree with what Dan was saying on Coach Munkin. You know, maybe he doesn't want the pressure of a Florida. Maybe he likes the fact that he's in a situation that works for him. And if so, good on him. And thank you from the Army community, because I mean, it looks like they got a gem that stayed, you know, the guy stays for 11 years. I met Jim Harbaugh on a recruiting trip when I was flying down to Charlotte. He just so happened to be in the airport. And I said, on behalf of all the Michigan fans, I just want to say, I hope you retire here. And the look on his face was like, get real, dude. Because coaches are so, they, you know, like, come on, dude, you know, I want to coach in a Super Bowl again, right? But coaches are so, it's such a changing door. My dad always says these coaches are all retreads, because he's a bit of a skeptic. But I think if you got something good, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I hope he stays as long as possible.
Yeah, agreed. Ultimately, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I know it gets brought up, and the fact that Army's starting to get national attention, obviously as an Army fan, I love that, you know, people are like, oh, you went to West Point. Did y'all having a great year? You know, that's nice, as opposed to like, oh, you went where with who? So it's, you know, that aspect of it is nice, but the, you know, sharks in the water, if you will, are less than ideal, but it's just the reality of being a non-Power 4 school. So, well, right, hey, let's move on from that. Let's do our fact or fiction review. Rob said that Army had 3 sacks and or interception return for touchdown combos. That was fiction. No interceptions or sacks, but 4 tackles for loss. Dan said Army throws more than 10 passes. That was fiction. Firstie Club, Army exceeds Navy in total yards of offense this week. That was fact. Army 481, Navy 463. Army also had more yards per carry and way more yards per play. So congratulations to everyone who was right on fact or fiction last week. Dano, speaking of making the right choice, why don't you tell us about Craig Oxen?
So Craig Oxen is the Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding, based out of Chicago. He's a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to give you super competitive rates, going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And that matters because the mortgage process is confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place, trying to just lock it. And you know, you have to sign to figure out what that means, right? And so that's why you want to deal with somebody who actually cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And that's what Craig's going to be. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to introduce you to the man that you need to meet when you're trying to buy a house and get a mortgage. Plus, this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. So get that money, friends. So Craig's link is on our website. Just go to asforfootball.com and click on his little business card, fill out a questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. It's too easy, and he gets literally 5-star reviews from everybody he works with. And I really hope that my internet held up for that, because y'all turned black there for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh boy. See, Ray Kimball, see what happens when you talk about Munkin moving, you anger the internet gods. Ray, you might just be right. All right, hey, well, let's talk about UAB. So after an opening week win over FCS Alcorn State, UAB season is arguably in free fall. They lost at ULM 32-6, kept it close at Arkansas, but lost late 37-27, lost at home to Navy 41-18, got obliterated at home by Tulane 71-20. Team has lost 12 of its last 17 games dating back to last season. Folks are now openly saying that second-year head coach Trent Dilfer needs to go, and that he's driven a once-proud program into the dirt. Dan, I know there's not a lot to talk about on offense for UAB, but what do they have going that we're going to see this week?
So the most important thing is that quarterback Jacob Zeno didn't play against Tulane because he had a shoulder injury. So they started Florida transfer Jalen Kitna, and Kitna did not play particularly well. And how much of that has to do with Kitna not being as good as Zeno, and how much of it has to do with Tulane's defense being way better than Navy's, I don't know. But Jacob Zeno is about a 70% completion passer. He's thrown for 819 yards, six touchdowns, five interceptions, but he's taken 10 sacks in just four games of work, which is unbelievable. Plus, he's a decent runner. Whereas Kitna can't run at all, didn't complete even 50% of his passes, threw three interceptions against one touchdown, including a pick six, and he took three sacks. So, you know, how much of them getting just absolutely swagger jacked last week is due to Zeno being out versus them playing too late is an open question. And we also don't know who's going to start on at quarterback for them. And that matters quite a bit in terms of how you think the game's going to play out, in my opinion. Running back Lee Beebe Jr., 65 carries, 5.3 yards per carry, three touchdowns. The dude is not a bad player. Wide receivers Amari Thomas and Cam Shanks, collectively they have 40 catches for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Like, all those dudes can play. It's not that they don't have talent. The thing that's kind of driving all of this is that the offense just has trouble sustaining drives downfield. Like, they're throwing these short passes for the most part, and they just can't sustain down the field with that. They're completing about 37% of their third downs, which is 91st in the country. Not terrible, but certainly not elite. This team has only been in the red zone 17 times all season, which is insane. And, you know, most critically, -9 on turnover margin. So they've lost four fumbles, eight interceptions, stuck in a tie, three-way tie for 128th in turnover margin in the FBS. So, you know, it's just a rough road. And if Jacob Zeno doesn't play, Jesus, these guys are liable to get smoked again.
Yikes. Yep. Dana or Rob, defensively, what do we have?
On to the defense. You know, there's a lot of inconsistency in the offense of being able to stay on the field, but the defense cannot get off the field at all. So they don't tackle well. Like, they're fundamentally missing that aspect of the football game, and that punishes them immensely. On the season, the Blazers have allowed a whopping 227.2 rushing yards per game at 5.2 yards per carry. They're 126th in FBS football. ULM posted 209 rushing yards on 4.4 yards a carry. Arkansas then put up 266 yards on 7 yards a carry. Navy only put up 227 yards on 5.4 yards a carry. And Tulane had 317 yards rushing on 6.3 yards a carry. Bottom line is, if you watch this, you know, all you see is linebacker. If you watch the Tulane game, all you see is the linebackers trying to, you know, basically shoulder hit people and not wrap up. And it usually leads to the guy just bouncing off and getting more yards after contact, which is not good. They're not wrapping up. Safety, C-Rod Bryant leads the team with 33 tackles. Like, that's not a good stat to have. You know, it's a horrible stat line if your free safety is making all the tackles. Linebacker Michael Moore has 31 tackles, 10 solo, 1 pick. And Tyon Jones has 27 tackles and 11 solo. So, like, when your safeties are your top tacklers, your team's in trouble. That means they're getting past the front seven. UAB gives up 142.6 passing yards a game, but that's only 8 yards per attempt. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, they're going to run on you, and if you throw against them, they're getting caught by deep shots. And, like, if I'm the defensive coordinator for UAB, I'm quaking in my boots because I know Army's quarterback can run. And, oh, by the way, Army, I think, is in, like, top five of plays over 30 yards. And so they're having a lot of explosive plays offensively this season. So now, as a defensive coordinator, how do I contain Bryson Daly, keep Noah Short from getting loose? How do I stop Kanye Udoh? And, oh, by the way, they got a whole fleet of tight ends that they can throw to down the field. And that's usually the play that Army uses, is some type of play action. You know, that counter option play into a play action pass, like, they're going to score like 4 or 5 touchdowns through the air if they run that play. Just because, you know, Army is getting massive chunk yardage. If you look at the games this season, I think last or against Tulsa, they had 7 plays over 30 yards. What are you going to do with that? And if you're UAB, you're in deep trouble. I mean, their defense, maybe they just go back to like basic camp day one and start tackling people again. But that's a tall order. You know, 6 games into the season, your team's probably nicked up. Your offense isn't playing well. And, oh, by the way, you've got a rushing team that is going to jam it down your throat. And if you play the way that you previously played, your season's going to be even longer. Yeah. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. On special teams, we got place kicker Jonah, 9 for 9 field goals, 2 kicks of 40-plus yards, 11 for 11 on extra points. Patrick Foley's their punter, 5 times against Tulane, about 45 yards of punt. UAB gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown to Tulane on a broken tackle. So even special teams is struggling a little bit. Army opened as an 18.5-point favorite. It's now a 26-point favorite. Over-under is at 54.5. Weather will be cloudy with temps in the mid-70s. Might be a little chilly during the tailgate, but it'll be plenty warm in the stadium itself. Let's get some takes on the game. Joe, how do you see this matchup playing out?
Blowout. Absolute blowout. I think that it's definitely a Dilfer thing where the team isn't quite buying him. And you can always tell when the team isn't showing up for their coach when they're turning the ball over and they can't protect the quarterback. And Army's going to do what Army does. Before I, you know, went combo blackout on you guys, I was trying to say that Army wears people down by doing things the right way. And I think they're going to win this game. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see it 35-0. And Army run for 400 yards. I think they're just going to keep on with the misdirection. Bryson Daly throws when he needs to, and he might not need to. But, you know, I think this game, Army walks away. And it was like we were talking about yesterday on the S for Football, that a couple teams made a statement against UAB. And I think Army's going to be no different. I think they're going to say, hey, you know, Tulane, you have to look out for us too, because we're a real threat, and they are. So I think the rich get richer, and it's just going to keep on raining for UAB. I see Army winning this game by 4 or 5 scores.
You don't think there's any risk of Army getting Vanderbilted, as they say?
No, I don't. And that's a good question, but it's because I feel like the culture at Army is so different. We talked about players maturing and staying for a long time. That's because the transfer portal is not open to the service academies the same way it is to every other school. I don't even know how that transition works or if it's even possible. I do know that I was a squared away NCO, and I probably would have got my goofy rear end kicked right out of West Point, because I know how squared away you have to be a part of that program and that establishment. And these kids are all, you know, part of something bigger than themselves. And not every college athlete can understand that. Or do they want to buy into it? And I've seen the way Trent Dilfer coaches, and not to be a Monday morning quarterback, but I'm not really buying his brand. And I think his team kind of feels the same way. So I think Army rolls and rolls big. And the fact that they don't get as much national love from ESPN and everybody, you know, they don't get talked about as much. So they're going to open eyes with their performance on the field. And I don't think that is anything that's going to discontinue anytime soon. God willing, and the creek don't rise, they all stay healthy. But I think Army's going to have a great season, and UAB is just hoping for this one to end.
Yeah, fair enough. Dano?
Yeah, we talked about this a little yesterday, but yeah, man. I low-key think Coach Jeff Monken would kind of like to hang Trent Dilfer's scalp right next to Major Applewhite's on his mantle. I mean, anything can happen on a college football Saturday, and if Army only wins by like 14 points, I don't think people should be upset or freaked out or whatever. But what I expect is these guys to come out on fire and to try to send a statement right back. You know, these Tulane, when Tulane dropped 70, that was not a message for UAB. That was a message for the rest of the American Conference and for the sports writers of America who are setting the conditions for the college football playoff. And I think Coach Monken heard and understood what was being said, and I expect him to respond.
Yeah. Rob?
Defensively, I want to see a shutout. I mean, the Army team has been playing well all season. I'd like to see the second teamers like hold the line and get a shutout and to play a complete game. And not to say that they haven't been playing complete games, but I'd like to see a shutout defensively. I think offensively, like, it's going to be more of the same. There's something different about this team this season. I think we can all admit it. Just they pass a different eye test from other teams that we've watched in recent years. And Army's rolling right now, you know, and I think UAB is not going to have much offensively for them. They can't produce on offense. I mean, what if you look, go back and look at the previous scores, I think their highest point total is what, 18 points? You know, this season? 27. So 27 points is their high this season. 27 points is going to be hard to scratch at with the Army defense, particularly the way that they've been playing. And if your quarterback's already nicked up, expect him probably to get hurt even further, you know, because the defense has been hitting hard and playing pretty solid. And so to be completely honest, you know, I think we'll see a complete complementary football game in all three aspects, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, I also think that Coach Monken, you know, probably read the Sunday morning papers and saw that Tulane put up 71 points. And he's like, okay, we can do that.
Hold my beer. Watch this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would love to see 70-something points, but at this point, win's a win. And I think just focusing on winning the football game, getting to bowl eligibility, to me, that's going to be most important.
That's true. I'm a little concerned, and I was thinking about this when I wrote the preview, because I was a little concerned to put that out into the universe and then have these guys turn around and win a close game against a team that, for whatever reason, pulls it together on the road. And then everybody's like, what happened? Well, you know, it's football.
Any given Saturday.
Yeah. And a win is a win. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line. So, yeah, I think reality is a thing for sure. But I also think, you know, we very much live in a time of national reputations and needing to sort of pee on the wall so that the sports writers can see how high it is. And that's just the world we live in. You know, the group of five right now is the whole group of five is competing for one college football playoff spot.
Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, I think we're starting to see a little bit of momentum. I saw on ESPN's playoff predictor where the, you know, Navy's not even on there. We're one of the 24 teams that they have as, you know, conceivable. We're at 20-something percent. So I think we're starting to get some recognition. But in order to do that, we got to keep winning football games, and we got to do that against UAB this week. Let's jump into some fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right, Rob, I see you're up first.
All right, so Army has 200-yard rushers this week. Fact or fiction?
I'll definitely take fact. I think that's easy money.
Agree, fact.
That's fact. One of the easiest ones.
So yeah. Fact agreement for you.
Dano?
Army throws zero passes this week. Haven't seen that all season.
Fiction.
I'm going to say fiction.
I'm going to say fiction, less than 10.
less than 10.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm going to, you know what? Screw it. I say fact. And when this is what hits, y'all can just eat my bubbles, as they say.
Eat your bubbles. Dan, I'm good. Thank you, though. All right. Army exceeds Navy in total yards of offense this week.
That's going to be easy to do because Navy's on a bye.
Dan, come on. We would have looked really smart when we all said fact and it all hit. So
I like Matt Scribner's short for 100 and 100 just to match what that Navy kid did last week.
Yeah. All right. Firsty Club short goes 100 and 100. I'm going to say fiction.
I mean, it is a very difficult thing to do, but I say screw it. Let's say fact.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to say fiction. I mean, he's going to do. He's either going to do like 160 and 40 rushing or passing. I think that he'll get 200 yards, but I don't think it'll be 100 and 100.
Well, that's what it's been. It's been for 100 yards rushing or 100 yards catching, not both. They've just sort of been sliding him into that role of what's the defense giving me? Okay, let's take that with Noah Short.
Yeah, I'm going to say fiction just because I don't think they're going to need to throw as much. But I do have a fact or fiction question. I just didn't
hit us, brother.
Okay.
All right. Army has a defensive touchdown.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll take fiction, though, unfortunately.
I'll take fiction as well.
Ooh, I'm going to say I'm the defensive guy, so I won't go against them. I'll say fact.
Thanks for the support, Rob. I'll remember it.
There you go.
Hey, well, do you like Army football or Asper football, and you want to support our coverage of Army sports in the American Conference? We could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Asper football to learn more. Also, some links on our website, At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. At Cal level, you get that plus our scouting report. And at the first year level, you get that plus access to our exclusive First Year Club, the private Facebook group for our top level patrons. This is the best place to talk Army football and just general college football because we're all super fans. We try hard to keep it positive, and it's a private group. Whatever happens there stays there. Firsties also get access to live show recordings like this one, so you can interact with us during the show. The reality is we've spent a lot of money over the past year trying to improve this show. We're now on StreamYard. We have Podcastle AI to improve the quality and even regular recording times. All that takes time and money. That's why we need your support. So if you like the content that we put out, we'd really appreciate it if you would consider becoming a patron. Dano, favorite thing?
Yeah. So among everything else, a bunch of my classmates are meeting up there and we're doing a makeshift Ask for Football/Class of 95 Oktoberfest. And both my kids are going to the game. They're both coming home. Like, this is going to be the greatest weekend ever, God willing. And I'm super excited. So that's my favorite thing this week.
Good deal. Well, if you're wandering up in Elot and you see Dano getting drunk on a German Pilsner.
We are not in Elot, but if you know me, send me a note and I'll be happy to tell you where we are.
I do have one question though, Dan. Are you wearing lederhosen to the game?
I am not, but I will wear some cute little shorts and some suspenders. So you can check out my ass if you want to.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
First eating your bubbles and now this? Scandalous. What happens when Dan is not at home and he goes on a work trip to Albany?
Oh, Dan, man.
Dano after dark. Hey, well, gentlemen, it's been real. Go Army, beat UAB.
Beat him.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Nate.